Now, the little text of scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight are the final words of Hebrews chapter 9. The latter part there of verse number 28 of Hebrews chapter 9, where it says, "And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now, this world where you and I live is a world that is full of uncertainties. You see this to be so whenever you think of the whole Brexit debate that is going on in our nation at this particular time. Despite a majority in the United Kingdom voting in 2016 to leave the European Union, it now looks uncertain if Britain will ever leave the European Union at all. And that really emphasizes the point tonight that we want to make, that this world is an uncertain place. The hymn writer was most correct whenever they said that change and decay in all around I see. As they surveyed the world around them, they saw change, they saw decay, they saw things changing about them, emphasizing the point that this world is an uncertain place. And people, whenever you and I, we think of the uncertainties of this world, we really then begin to see how important the Bible, the Word of God, is. For while this world is full of uncertainties, the Bible, on the other hand, is the exact opposite. The Bible, on the other hand, is full of certainties, of great truths that are absolutely sure and certain, right from Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, right through to Revelation at the end of the Holy Scriptures. And that is why the reading of the Word of God is so important for each one of us. Indeed, that is why the preaching of the Word of God is so important in this day in which we live. And that is why it is so important that you and I listen to the Word of God, that we heed the Word of God, that we give an ear to what God has to say to us from His Word and from His truth. May we have an example of biblical certainty here in the chapter before us tonight, in Hebrews chapter number 9. Here in particular in this chapter, the apostle is showing the Hebrew believers that Christ, their great high priest, is superior to any Jewish priest. And this is so on account of the efficacy, or if you like, the effectiveness of Christ's atoning death and sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary to save sinners. And you see how the apostle emphasizes that very truth in verse 14 in the earlier part of the chapter when he speaks of Christ. And he says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." And there he highlights the efficacy of Christ's atoning death to save sinners and bring about their salvation. But along here with emphasizing the certainty of Christ's superiority as our great high priest, there are also other great certainties which the apostle highlights in this chapter as well. If you go down to verse number 27, the beginning of that verse, you'll see there how he highlights the certainty of death. And my announcements this Lord's Day have emphasized that very point, that death is certain, that death is unavoidable, it is unstoppable, should the coming of the Lord tarry. Verse 27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die." Oh, the certainty of death. If you're unsaved tonight, that you would see that you would realize that in your heart, that it is appointed unto man once to die. And my, there is an appointment for you to keep with death should the coming of our Savior tarry. He speaks also there in the latter part of verse 27 of another great certainty. And that is the certainty of God's judgment upon sinners and hell after this life, after this world. after they've departed the scene of time. For look at what he goes on to say in the latter part of verse 27. But after this, in other words, after death, in eternity. But after this, the judgment. And that is something very unpopular today. People do not want to hear about judgment. About judgment and hell for sin. But friend, understand this tonight. It is sure, it is certain, because it is declared in the word of the Lord. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. You die unsaved, whoever you are in this gathering, you will face the judgment of God and the great eternity of God to come. He highlights the superiority of Christ as being certain. He highlights the certainty of death, the certainty of judgment. But there's another great certainty as well here mentioned by the apostle as he writes to these Hebrew believers, and that is the certainty of Christ's return to this scene of time. Look at the words of our text right at the very end of the chapter. He says, and unto them that look for him, that is Christ, look for Christ, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, the certainty of Christ's return. And people, it is this great certainty, this great reality of Christ's return, of his second appearing again to this world, that I want us to look at just in our gospel meeting this evening. Yes, as sure as you and I sit here in this meeting house here in Bethel and Chanter Hill, sure as we sit here tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming back again this second time. There are three things here I want you to note about a second appearing. Notice first of all here that Christ's second appearance to this world, it will be seen. You look at what our text simply says there about Christ in verse 28. It says of Christ that he shall appear, it says, the second time. And you think of those words there where it says, he shall appear. That phrase there, he shall appear, literally means in the original that he shall be seen. In other words, the return of Christ will be evident to this world. The return of Christ will be clearly seen by all. It will be plain to all. There will be nothing secret or hidden or covered regarding the return of Christ again to this world. It says there, he shall appear, he shall be seen, it says, the second time. You think about his first advent to this world. His first advent was clear. It was plain. It was apparent to all. And so shall it also be with his second appearing. In Revelation 1 verse 7 it says, behold, he cometh. And it says, every eye shall see him. The ungodly world where you and I live, this ungodly world really wants to forget about Christ. This ungodly world wants to sideline Christ, and you see that more and more in our society. This ungodly world really wants to dismiss the very name of Christ from public opinion and from the public domain and the public square, so to speak. But let me say, this will not be so when Jesus Christ returns, because every eye shall see him. He shall be seen. He shall appear. His appearance will be evident and clear and plain for all to see, including the ungodly, including the most ungodliest of men. And such will be the fear of the ungodly at the sight of Christ, at his return. Such will be their fear. That the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 6, at the end of that chapter, that they shall hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and will pray to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That will be the reaction of godly sinners to the return of Christ, crying out for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. You see, they'll see the coming of Christ. They'll see him coming back again. It will be evident. Will be most clear.
And friend, can I say that if you are found amongst the unsaved, amongst the ungodly, at the return of Christ, then that will be a picture of you as well, crying out for the rocks and the mountains to hide you from the wrath of the Lamb at the return of Christ. Yes, Christ's second appearance to this world, it will be seen. Something else here just to note on this point as you and I think further of the appearance of Christ. When we think of his visible return of Christ, we can say that it will be personal as well. What do we mean by that? In other words, the very same Jesus, the very same Lord Jesus Christ who was crucified by sinful man, who was buried, who rose again from the dead, who has ascended on high into heaven, the very same Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this world. It will not be a different person, no. But it will be the very same Christ who traversed this world in the Gospels, who was born in Bethlehem, who performed his mighty miracles and his mighty acts. The very same Christ. What does it say to us in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 11? It says, "This same Jesus which is taken up from among you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The very same Christ. The unchanging Christ is coming back again. We were singing earlier on that great hymn about Christ. In the final verse of it, what did it say? "Soon again shall we behold him, hasten, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away." My, it will be the unchanging Christ, the Christ of God who never changes, who will return to this uncertain and to this changing world. Also, as we think further of his visible return, we can say that the second appearance of Christ, it will be a glorious appearance. It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds," and the clouds there speak of his glory. A glorious appearance of Christ when he comes again. Turning your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 25. Look at verse number 31, and there you'll see that for yourself. Just from what is said there in the gospel account, Christ here is speaking about his return again. And verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25 says, "When the Son of Man shall come," how shall he come? It says, "in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." It will be a glorious appearing. What a sight it will be. By the first advent of Christ, what was it? It was by and large marked by his humiliation. He was born in Bethlehem's manger into this world as a little being. But that will not be the case with his second appearing. My, he's coming again in power. He's coming again in great glory. He's coming again as King of kings, as Lord of lords, as sovereign over all. Let me say that if you are not saved on that day, please realize that you too will bow to him that day when he comes again. You will bow to him as Lord of lords. You will bow to him as King of kings. Yes, on that day you will have to acknowledge him as sovereign over all, the one who is the Lord God who reigneth. My, Paul here, as he writes in our text tonight, he speaks of Christ. He says here in Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse number 28, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear." What a sight that will be when he shall appear in the clouds and his glory. Yes, Christ's second appearance to this world, it will be seen. Notice something else here from our text. Not only will it be seen, but also we can say that Christ's second appearance, as our text declares here, will be without sin. You look at what our text says. It says, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time." It says, "without sin." Notice those words, "without sin." What does that mean?
What was the apostle getting at when he wrote those words, when he shall appear the second time without sin? What does he mean by that? Well, you see, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns the second time, he is never again going to die for sinners. That's what it means here. You see, in his first advent, he came into this world to be our sin bearer. But in his second advent, he's coming back again as our king. He's coming back again to this world as our judge. Look at how verse 28 there begins. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. My, that, of course, refers to his first advent. When the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered and he bled and died upon the cross of Calvary for the salvation of sinners like you and like me and for sinful man. My, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was holy. He was harmless. He was without sin. He knew no sin, the Bible says. The Bible says he did no sin. The devil attacked him here on earth in the Gospels, but Christ could say at that attack that the prince of this world cometh and of nothing in me, no sin in Christ. Altogether spotless, altogether lovely, without blemish, the sinless Son of God. But when he gave himself up to the cross and died on the cross, he died on the cross for our sins. On the cross, he became our sin bearer. The Bible says he bare our sins in his own body to the tree. He died on the cross as our substitute. And on the cross as our substitute, as our sin bearer, he bore upon himself the wrath and the judgment of God that we rightly deserved and justly deserved for our sins. Bible speaks of Christ and says he died the just for us, the unjust. Unjust, guilty sinners such as us. Turning your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 53, that great gospel chapter in the Old Testament. And really the whole chapter is all about Christ in his first advent being our sin bearer. Look at verse number 5 of Isaiah 53. But he, the Son of God, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Look at the latter part of verse 6. The Lord, notice it, have laid on him as our sin bearer the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. That's all about Christ as our sin bearer upon the cross. Look at verse number 10 there of Isaiah 53. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Father's wrath was poured out upon him for us guilty sinners. My, look again there at the latter part of verse 8 of Isaiah 53. It says, for the transgression, for the sins, the iniquities of my people, was he stricken. And there you see Christ as our sin bearer upon the cross. Oh, as you view Christ tonight, this first advent and this scene of time, oh, see him as your sin bearer. One who bore the wrath of God upon the cross when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, and bore upon himself the wrath, the judgment that we deserve for our sins. Yes, on the cross of Calvary, the wrath of God that we rightly deserve for sin was poured out in full upon Christ. Thus he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now you look at our text there tonight in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, it says, so Christ, notice it, was once offered to bear the sins of many. Notice that word once there. What does that tell us about Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross? It shows us there that Christ's sacrifice for sin upon the cross
was a once for all, a sacrifice for sinners. In other words, a sacrifice that never needs to be repeated, never needs to be enacted again. A once for all sacrifice for sin. And people, that is why the Roman Catholic Mass is a blasphemous fable and a treacherous deceit. Why? Because the official teaching of the Church of Rome is that the Mass is a continuation of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. And how unscriptural that is, undermining the whole work of Christ as our sin bearer upon the cross. Oh, people tonight, please understand this, that the shed blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary, it is a once for all sacrifice that is sufficient to save you and I from the guilt of all of our sin. Look at what the Apostle Paul says there in verse 26 of the same chapter. He says, "But now once in the end of the world have he appeared," that is Christ, "what for? To put away sin," notice it, "by the sacrifice of himself." Oh, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross, I tell you, is sufficient to save you and I from the pollution of all of our sins. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross is sufficient to save you and I from the dominion and the sway of all our sin. The Bible tells us the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient to save you and I from the condemnation of our sin in a lost sinner's hell. Does not the Bible say, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus"? My old John Owen was right whenever he said there can be no death of sin apart from the death of Christ. That's the remedy for our sin. In Christ the sin bearer, in his atoning death and sacrifice upon the cross. My, Christ came, yes, the first time to die for sinners. But my, when he comes again the second time, there shall be no more sacrifice for sin. His appearance will be seen. His appearance will be without sin, as it says in our text. Notice one final thing here from Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 28. The Christ's second appearance will be to the salvation of his people. You look at what is said there in our text. It says, "And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." You notice there in those final words the mention of that little phrase, "them that look for him." Who are the "them" that look for him? This means all those who have repented of their sin in time, all those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. The dying thief crucified beside Christ on the cross was one of such. When he cried out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The Apostle Paul was such when he said, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." By that little phrase there, "unto salvation," it really means, if you like, the coronation, or if you like, the completion of the salvation of all God's people. In other words, that means when they are gathered together into the glory of heaven at the return of Christ. The Bible says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." What a day that is for the child of God, unto those that look for Christ in salvation. Now, when Christ returns, the bodies of the dead saints will rise from the grave with a glorious body and be reunited with their soul in heaven. And it will be the same for all believers who are alive at the return of Christ. Their body and their soul will be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, like unto Christ glorious person, and they too shall be gathered into heaven and to glory. Turn with me back there to Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 20 and 21, and you'll see there how Paul the Apostle speaks of this great fact to the Philippian believers in Philippians 3 verses 20 and 21. He says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." He's talking here about the return of Christ, the second appearing. Notice the words, "who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." What a hope. And by this great hope, it pertains to every believer, to every child of God. It belongs to all who have repented of their sin and trusted Christ as Savior. This, if you like, is the great prize of their salvation. Does not John say in his epistle that we shall see him as he is? For we shall be like him. Speaking of the glory, the full completion, the coronation of his salvation and the salvation of all the saints of God. We shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. Dear believer in Christ, you shall see him as he is when he comes in power and great glory. And you shall be like him. On one occasion, Charles Spurgeon, he received a book from his friend, Dr. Andrew Bonner. And that book was such a blessing to him that he returned it with this message. He says, "Please place her in your autograph and your photograph." Dr. Bonner, he returned the book sometime later to Mr. Spurgeon with another message. And in this message he said these words, "Dear Spurgeon, here is the book with my autograph and my photograph. But if you had been willing to wait a short season, you could have had a better likeness. For I shall be like him, and I shall see him as he is." What was Andrew Bonner talking about? He's talking, of course, of the great glory that awaits the child of God in heaven. And every believer, every child of God will be made perfect like unto Christ on their coronation day when Christ returns in power and in great glory. He shall be seen. He's coming back again, not as our sin bearer, but as King of kings and Lord of lords, coming to gather his people in glory unto himself. And you know, tonight in this meeting, in the course of history, where are you and I? You and I tonight, we stand, as it were, between. We're found between in history. The first advent of Christ and the second advent of Christ. That's where we are in history. And when you think about that, the all-important question surely to every one of us is this, in the light of the glorious return of Christ, it is this: are we ready for the second appearing of Christ? What does it say in the Gospel of Matthew? "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." My Hebrews 9 verse 27 there warns you of death, warns you of judgment. And my, when Christ returns, all the unsaved will be judged for their sins and cast into hell, where they will suffer eternal punishment and judgment for their sins, the Bible says, "and these shall go away into everlasting punishment." Friend at our meeting, let me say this, that if you are to be saved and delivered from that awful judgment, then now in time you must prepare by repenting of your sins and by looking in simple childlike faith unto Christ as your Savior and trusting him alone to save you from all your sins. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." And my, when you trust Christ as Savior, I tell you this, you'll be ready for his coming. My, you'll be able to pray for us coming. My, you'll be able to watch for us coming. You'll be able to wait for his coming. My, you'll be able to say with the hymn writer, I'm waiting for thee, for thy coming again. Thou art gone over there, Lord, a place to prepare, Lord. Thy home I shall share at thy coming again, Lord. Tell me tonight, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Oh, if you're not ready, may you make that preparation tonight. Get right with God. Repent of your sin and believe the gospel. And put your faith and trust in Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We're going to conclude our service by singing together at hymn number 225. 225, and it's the page 267. Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As in ox and ass admission, sinner will, you let him in. Verse 4 says, room and time thou give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart be cold and silent, and thy Savior's pleading cease. We're going to sing the first verse and the third verse. Verses 1 and 3 only, along with the chorus, standing as we sing and thinking of the words as we sing them. 225, verses 1 and 3, along with the chorus. Just going to close our meeting with prayer. If there's one tonight and there's a concern in your heart, your soul, you know you're not ready for the coming of the Lord, then I urge you tonight to flee to Christ, to trust him. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'll be no hurry away. I'm too glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is able and mighty to save. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word. Bless it to our hearts. Bless it to our souls, we pray. And Lord, our prayer for each one in this gathering is that each one would be saved and ready and waiting and watching for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Lord, bless us to this end. Bless us in this week that lies before us. Help us to live as thy people to the praise and the glory of God. And Lord, yet should there be any in our gathering tonight still not saved, still unconverted, Lord, this night speak on. Save them by the grace and power of God. Part us with your fear and blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with all who know and love thee this night and always. Amen.